This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Well, it all comes down to this. Championship episode, ladies and gentlemen, of Stacking Pennies. We are presented by Mobile One. We have two people on the pod today going for a championship. Competitors, enemies, if you will. Ryan Flores, front tire changer. Ryan Blaney's Martinsville winning hot rod, racing for a championship, as well as Christopher Bell driving that number 20 Toyota Camry, joining us on the show today. We're going to break down Martinsville, but let's get right to Christopher Bell in studio right now.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
All right, guys, super pumped up to welcome this guy to the Stacking Pennies studio. This man has raced in the Cup Series for 4 years, and he has competed for a championship in half of them. 2017 Truck Series champion right here in the studio, Mr. Christopher Bell.
Thank you, guys. Thank
big
you, guys.
Big week. Big week, my friend.
Congrats, buddy.
I appreciate that. It is feeling? A very big week.
How you feeling?
Probably about like you expect. Nervous, anxious, excited.
I don't know what to expect because I've never been in your position before.
Well, pretty much all of the emotions.
Yeah. So you punched your ticket last week, feeling good about it. How much effort this past week leading up to Martinsville? What was the split on your focus of Phoenix versus Martinsville?
Oh, man. I would say probably 80-20. Yeah. I've got to live it both ways now, right? Like this year we were able to win a couple weeks early, or I guess, 2 weeks early. And then last year we didn't even think we were going to make it until the checkered flag at Martinsville. And last year it was the complete opposite. Like we didn't even use the word Phoenix. It wasn't in our vocabulary until post-race Sunday at Martinsville. And then this year we didn't even really use the word Martinsville. We just kind of went Vegas, Miami, Phoenix and skipped over Martinsville. So definitely our focus has been on that place.
Man, you're no stranger to the situation that you're in right now leading up to Tuesday. What, we're 5 days away from another shot at racing for a championship. So what are some things just in your own preparation that are a little bit different from last year?
That are different from last year?
Yeah.
Just the amount of time and just feeling prepared. You know, last year going into Martinsville, I was 180 points beneath the cut line, right? So it's like you don't even think about racing for a championship going into Martinsville. You're just focused on Martinsville. And then all of a sudden, the checkered flag flies and you're celebrating Martinsville, and Monday comes up and it's like, oh crap, we have the biggest race of my life that's happening in 7 days and you have to leave Wednesday. And it felt all very cramped. Just the preparation for Phoenix, which is the most important race, felt very cramped. And this week it was a lot more, or these past 2 weeks, I guess, has been a lot more just methodical and you know, you have time to like look at film and just focus on one event rather than, you know, trying to cram it all in a couple days.
Well, I've talked to your crew chief, Adam Stevens, and that was what he said too. I think it helps him from that standpoint.
I imagine it helps Adam more than it helps me, honestly.
Yeah. Because from a setup standpoint, like, I don't know, do you think it's an advantage? Everyone thought Cliff Daniels had this incredible 2 week advantage, and then you kind of had a little lead time too back at the show.
I mean, I don't know, ironic or not, the 22 won the championship last year after winning Vegas. So it's definitely not going to hurt. And you know, you guys ask about my preparation, but like literally Adam and the engineers are just running simulations of Phoenix. Like, how do we make the car a little bit better on entry? How do we make it a little bit better on exit?
And yeah, it's those guys are looking for a hair on a gnat's ass when it comes to those little squiggly lines.
Absolutely.
Now, you got a little bit of pressure now that you accepted our invitation to come on the show, because we are 100% in our championship guests of the week leading up to it. So Joey was here last year in studio. My man won the championship. So maybe it's Stacking Pennies good luck.
I like that. I like that. Hopefully I can keep it up.
I hope so, too. There is a little bit of inter-show rivalry right now. I don't know if you felt this mean mug
this
he's been
awkward.
Giving you over here. This is awkward.
There's a Phoenix elephant in the room.
I haven't looked at you one bit.
Yeah, I saw you over there looking at sizing them up.
It's more frustrating. last year, Martinsville, because we were like right
we were
four,
racing
like four or
each
five
other,
pit
yeah.
stalls away.
Yep.
And I kept trying to eyeball Jackson Gibbs because we were like, we both were having a great day on pit road. And I think we left the last one. We were like, I think you matched. Like, we just kept matching each other all day, but your shit was so fast.
It was proper.
Last year. But yeah, to be able to close the way you did last year, right? The Roval and then Martinsville. Homestead, you were down and out, right? And after Vegas, you made the comments like, that was my shot.
Yep.
It was almost like an adrenaline dump. Like, you almost looked a little bit defeated, but to start Homestead the way you did and almost go a lap down and then come back and come out of nowhere, like, even we were like, where the hell did the 20 car come from?
Hell, you probably thought that yourself.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, no doubt.
So, yeah, like, I think I can't help but think, and this might be a little bit off the beaten path, but you're an Oklahoma guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Is the pressure that you guys feel like going to the Chili Bowl forever, does that help with this? Because, like, the sprint car races and the Chili Bowl races, they seem, especially that week in Tulsa, it just seems, like, super tense. Everybody does. Even Larson, like, the best of the best, you see make mistakes. Like, when you beat Larson there because he was looking at the big screen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do those situations prep you better for what you've been doing in the Cup Series?
Well, going back a little bit, you mentioned defeated, and, you know, that I was defeated after Las Vegas because Homestead, man, I don't know why, but it's just been a thorn in my side forever. And I knew going into the round of eight, if I or whoever was going to transfer, you were going to have to win or compete for wins every single race. That's what you guys did. That's what I did. The five car obviously won early. The 24 had so many points that he was in a different situation. But yeah, I mean, to come that close to winning at Las Vegas and knowing what's ahead of us at Homestead, which is not one of my best tracks, and then Martinsville, we were good last year, but not so good in the spring. It was a tough loss to take. And, you know, I'll say it again, that was probably the toughest loss of my career so far. And I'm very proud.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And even if it was like a mega run at the end, too. Like, if you would have had another lap.
It was close.
But yeah.
Oh, do you shoot the middle there if you got another shot at it?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think I could have. So the lap car that was down there was the 38. He helped me in 3 and 4, right? Because he took the bottom, and the bottom was the preferred groove. So the 5 car got off the bottom, and that allowed me to get a run on him. But at the same time, I didn't feel confident enough to go down and then not run into the back of him. And Larson, of course, he's going to block me down. So, you know, I thought going higher was my best opportunity because I didn't think that he was going to expect that, right? Like anyone would have expected me to drop down. So it is what it is, and I'm glad that I was able to rebound the next week.
How many times you watch that?
Not many.
No.
Not many.
Yeah.
And you watched it one time?
I watched it once, yeah. Done. Probably. I watched it live. I was good.
Yeah.
I saw it in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're the only Toyota represented in the championship four. A bunch of your teammates went home.
That is
crazy.
That
was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it this year – so in 2022, making the Final Four was obviously huge, but going into 2023, we had Toyota came up with a new design on the cars. In 2023, I feel like the Toyota performance has been better than what we had in 2022. And it's shown that, right? Like all of us across the board have gotten better. And you know, all of my teammates won. Actually, Ty didn't. But, you know, the other two cars won a lot of races. Ty had a great rookie season. And I thoroughly expected, you know, a couple of us to make it there. But, you know, just cards didn't fall for him.
So came in to Gibbs 1 year after your rookie season at LFR, pseudo Gibbs organization. But I wanted to ask, just being in those pre-race meetings, comp meetings, all these things, you're learning from Kyle Busch, you're learning from Denny, you're learning from Martin Truex. How have you and your confidence built to where you feel like you, I don't know, belong in those meetings or you feel like you contribute?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And even to this day, I still don't necessarily know if I belong there or if my input or stuff is valuable to them. But certainly I've gotten a lot more comfortable in the role. And, you know, I remember going in there for my first time in 2020 and, like, literally it was Kyle, Martin, Denny, and it was just and Eric Jones was in there too. Yeah, there was four cars and I was the fifth, and it was like, these are Hall of Famers and I'm just getting started, so like, why am I even going to talk? Like, why do they want to listen to my feedback? But certainly I've gotten more confident in the role, and I'm sure that it just goes by the weeks, right? If I have a week that I'm really competitive, I think my input is a lot more valuable. And then if I have a week where I struggle, then I probably don't talk as much and be like, all right, guys, you guys just...
you guys take it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you thought... I wanted to get your take on this. Did you hear what Coach said about a saddle and a horse and riding you for the next 20 years?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saddle and a horse.
In a good way. They were like, oh, what do you think of C-Bell? He's representing you guys in the championship four. He's like, I love Christopher. Like, I've told you this before. He calls you a sponsor's dream. He's like, put a saddle on that kid. We're going to ride him for the next 20 years.
C-Bell or like C-Biscuit.
I think that's probably the best best compliment I could ever get.
I think that's pretty good job security. I'd love if my boss said that.
48 years old.
Yeah.
Like Dave Marcus out there.
Yeah, let's go. I don't even know how old. Who's the oldest one? It's got to be Truex, right?
Harvick.
Yeah. Oh, in the Cup Series?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harvick.
46 or 7.
46? Yeah.
So no one's 48 right now.
No. You could set the record.
That's a goal, bro.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself? I mean, like, you're a Toyota guy, though. You don't see yourself ever leaving.
I mean.
Could you see yourself at Gibbs for?
Absolutely.
Just
I mean,
one and
why,
done.
Why would I want to?
Yeah.
There's no reason to.
Pretty good freaking place, man.
Yeah. Nowhere else I'd rather be.
So. Now, how much? So it's a unique weekend. Obviously, there's the obvious ones. But we haven't had an hour practice with an open-ended adjustment period.
Right.
Since maybe the Coke 600. So how much communication internally is there with the other three Gibbs cars doing some different setup opportunities where you can kind of do, I don't know, cast a wider net to kind of hone in on what is the best setup?
Yeah, so Corey, that's way beyond my pay grade. I honestly have no idea, but it's interesting and an advantage, and it is the same for everybody, that you're actually able to work on your cars. And that's like, I'm talking to my mentor, and I told him that this week's different because we actually have a real practice. And
can he's you like, disclose who your mentor is?
Rick Ferkel. Yeah, he was my first ever Sprint car owner.
Okay.
He was like one of the first original World of Outlaw guys, and he's my life coach, my racing mentor. Yeah. So anyway, I was explaining to him that it's a real practice. And he's like, well, you get practice every week. I'm like, no, man. Like, basically, your setup once you leave the shop, that's what you got, and you can put wedge in it, or I don't even know, maybe shot clicks, or I don't.
Yeah, and bar clicks. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. But your fundamental setup is what it is, and this week is completely different. You know, if we show up, and that's a great point to having teammates probably on different islands, on different setups, trying different things. So I don't know if they're going to do that, but it sounds good to me.
Well, I would imagine it's one for all and all for one right here, because you're the one weaving that Toyota banner.
Talk about preparation. I heard, is there any truth to the fact that you've ended every sim session that you've done this year at Phoenix?
No.
Really?
No.
So it's damn. Okay, I heard that one.
It's a great story, though.
Yeah, I heard that, like, you would click over. Like, hold on, let me bust a couple laps here at Phoenix.
No, so, man, I'm honestly not a big simulator guy. Like, I could probably count the amount of times that I've been there on one hand. Certainly, the last 2 weeks, we've put more effort, or I've gone there a lot more. But, you know, I don't know. I'd rather race. I'd rather race as much as I can. And, so I'm not a big
Larson's like that too. Two dirt guys. Is there anything to that?
It's just not real. I mean, do you run the simulator, Corey?
Bro, he's an iRacing hater to the core, dude.
A little different. Easy now. For my team, being that we don't get the full board of information, we have to use that because we have to use it as much as we can. And there's some weeks I'm on it for 6 hours, and there's some weeks I'm on it for 1 hour.
Okay. So you go weekly, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both times I've called this week, he's been in the simulator, though.
Yeah. It's a tool for us. And, you know, there's a couple guys at Hendrick that don't utilize it. There's a couple guys that do. Whenever those guys have a slot that they don't use, they'll call me up and I'll just go cut some laps for them.
So if that's not your thing, then how do you get an edge, or how do you prep each week? Or
Just lots of data. I'm a big SMT guy. That's what I look at a lot. Film, and I also have my own notes that I go off of too. So between SMT and watching the races back, that's pretty much my prep work. But, you know, sometimes the simulator, if it is valuable, like road courses, I'll go every time. And so to get a visual of the track. The thing that I don't like about the simulator is it's just all an educated guess on how much grip you think the tires are going to have, how loose the tire is going to be, or how tight the tire is going to be. So, you know, you go in the simulator and you're fine-tuning your setup to the tire model. Yeah, the tire model that they give us. And if the tire model's too tight, then you're going to show up and be wrecking loose because you just tried to free your setup up in the simulator and it's not real. So Adam does a really good job of using that, but yet using his notebook too. And it's been tough going into the next gen car because the notebook's empty, right? But now that we've been to Phoenix three times now, I'm sure that that has a lot of stock compared to
when you're looking at SMT. So SMT, you're able to lay your driver inputs over anybody else's, right? Yep. Whether it's a leader, whether it's a guy running last. Is there somebody you find yourself gravitating towards to just see how you're compared to?
I mean, a lot of the time it's myself with the best team car, yeah, whatever that is. And then obviously the best car of the weekend. So this weekend it would have been the 12. Actually, the last 2 weeks. Or, you know, you guys were really good at Miami too. But, normally
somebody rained on our parade.
I did.
And he's not upset about it at all.
No shame.
Not one bit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. You can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold.
Is there a point, whether it be a race or a run or an instant this season, obviously not. I'm not giving you Homestead to use.
Okay.
If there was another instance throughout the course of the year that it went one way or the other, like a watershed moment that had to happen to continue your run, what would that be?
To continue my run. So are we saying postseason, like playoffs?
Up to you.
I mean, Texas was a big one. Like, Texas had a little bit of the Homestead feel. I didn't win the race, but I was not good. I was not good at all. I think we qualified in the late teens. We stayed out to get some points. I think it was in stage one. And then from that point, we got buried. And I did not make my way up to the front. And it looked like we were going to have a 20-point day. And that's not going to cut it in the round of 12. And then the yellow flags came out. And I think we just stayed out, if I remember right, and maybe got a couple good restarts. And it was very similar to Homestead, where I ran in the back the majority of the time, and we ended up getting the top five out of it. So that was a good race for us. And I'm trying to think of one that goes the other way. They don't stick out as much, though.
Yeah, you try to forget those.
Yeah, you definitely try and forget
absolutely
those.
Absolutely.
You and Larson have shown each other a tremendous amount of respect, and he said that in the postseason. Like, he raised me with a lot of respect, and he always really has. At Phoenix, the way things work out is all fair and love and championship. Do you change the respect level that you give any of those guys?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, if asking me today, like, no, I'm going to race everybody the same. But whenever you're in that moment, I don't know what's going to happen. So, like, I've never successfully used the bumper before in my life until Martinsville 2022, whenever I had to, and I gave old Briscoe the bump and shot him out of the way. So I honestly have no idea. I can tell you today that I'm going to try and race everyone respectfully, but I don't know what's going to happen once you get in the moment.
Didn't you win your truck championship by 13 seconds?
That one was an easy one. Yeah, if that could happen again this week, that would be awesome.
I don't think that's going to happen on Sunday, but might have to be a little bit more aggressive than you were in 2017.
Yeah. How long have you been racing with Larson? Since you guys were kids, right?
Yeah, so I raced against him a little bit. It would have been in 2011. I was running, you know, my team car out of Oklahoma, and he was in the KKM midget. And then it would have been 13 was whenever we really started racing against each other because we were both in the KKM cars.
Have you guys always respected each other like you do now, or has it been a road to hoe to get there? Like, have you guys had some run-ins?
Honestly, we didn't start having run-ins until, you know, later on. So, like, in 13, I remember we were, like, we would race against each other, but we were on, I don't know what the right way to put it is, but we were like buds. Like, I remember he came out to Pete's house. I was living at Pete Willoughby's house in Indiana. He came out to Pete's house and we, you know, went on the lake together. And yeah, I'm trying to think of the first time we really ever had a run in. It was maybe Turkey Night 2017 or 18. So several years of racing with each other on and off. And then, I don't know. We just got really competitive against each other, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like Logano's openly. Like, he even said to Corey one time when we were over there, he's like, when you start running better, I can't be your freaking friend, dude. Like, I can't do it.
Dude.
You know, that
it's a
thing. Real thing. It's a real thing.
And so are you along the same thing? Because you've seemed always very measured, very focused on your career from the time I've met you years ago. What do you think about that, like, inner driver friendship? I mean, some guys are more chummy with others, but you seem like you keep to yourself and keep business.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, whenever I was dirt track racing, I would say that my best friends were competitors that I raced against. And I can't say that they were – maybe we really weren't on the same level. So maybe that's why, you know, me and Larson kind of had a little bit of a friendship, I guess, in 2013. And then it like, became competitive. But, yeah, I mean, Ferkel, my mentor, he always said, buddy, these guys aren't your friends. And he discouraged me tremendously from being friends with race car drivers. And, yeah, so at this point in my life, I can't say that my best friends are surely not race car drivers. I may have acquaintances on the track, but I think that's held true.
Dude, them old school, like, short track guys like Ferkel that raced for a living, they're built different.
They are.
They're built different than anybody. They're hard, dude, hard asses. But, yeah, so I go back to my long-winded Chili Bowl question. Does the pressure of that building that week help you guys, like, with maturity and pressure, how you handle it in the Cup Series?
Absolutely. And I think it's not just the Chili Bowl, but it's moments like the Chili Bowl. And I remember my first time ever driving for Keith Coons Motorsports was at the 2013 Chili Bowl. And I literally was throwing up before my heat race, and that it continued, and just being in those pressure packed moments, whether it's all the way throughout the year, all those different events, but that's how you get better at handling those situations. And, you know, all those all the races that I did, all the high profile events that I did growing up, help make yourself better for moments like these.
What makes it, where is it just the track, the amount of track time, like every time you're on the track is just so important? You can't have a slip up all week. Is that what makes that
the Chili
such a pressure?
Talking?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was, and I'm sure for everybody, it's just the fact that it happens once a year. And, you know, the Phoenix race, the championship race, it happens once a year. And I couldn't even imagine, like, the Olympics where it happens once every 4 years, right? There's
busting your ass for 4 years.
I think there's something to the rarity of the event that makes it have the pressure and have the intensity.
Would you like to ask your Chili Bowl question?
Oh, since we're on the Chili Bowl topic, I would love to ask it.
We can
kind of nervous
every
about this
time. I love watching it. Now, people ask, why don't you want to do it? One, because I'm 6'2", and the catch fence isn't tall enough for me if I want to drive a midget. But I digress. I watch it religiously. Tuesday, all the way through Saturday night, all the way through, by God, 2:30 in the morning.
Pissed off the whole time.
Pissed off the entire time because you know why? We have some 1988 C10 pickup truck pushing these things off. Why can't we put starters on these motherfuckers?
That's a good question, man. I don't know. I can be with you or against you on it, depending on
the
day.
Be with me.
The Chili Bowl, though, they do have their no red flag rule, which helps compared to some other dirt events.
You just keep it moving.
Yeah, like unless someone hits their noggin, right, and needs some assistance, you stay yellow at all costs. And honestly, the Chili Bowl's got probably the best organization of getting the car started out of any dirt track in the country. But, yeah, I mean, there is something to that. That's
they
for
should
sure.
have starters.
It's not. Like, I ran a midget the first time 2 years ago, and I was like, tell me again how to start this thing? I have no – there is – it is 2022, whatever it was. Like, there's way more efficient ways to do this. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, Kevin Swindell is really vocal about it being part of the –
listen, hey.
Very big part of the sport.
We've got a three-time Chili Bowl champ on the show says there should be starters.
Call the Hans.
I'm not saying that
Call
there
the
should
Hans.
Be starters. I'm just saying that.
Don't put words in his
Emmett
mouth.
Han? Is that his name, Emmett Han?
That's what I heard.
You asked him to be with
you. It could go either way, though. Yeah. It could go either way.
All we're saying is the Tulsa Shootout, those cars that you own, the 600s, have starters, and it goes way smoother. That's all we're saying.
That's all we're saying.
That's
we're
just, debatable.
we're trying to make the show go smooth.
That is debatable.
We're also wanting the show to go smooth for you this weekend. So from the time, what's your weekend look like? How planned out is it? How much time do you have for yourself, for your wife to hang out in the bus, to get a little bit like calm before the storm? So generally speaking, what's the weekend look like?
Pretty different. It is a lot different until I get my hour before driver intros, and then that's whenever it becomes all the same, because Sunday morning everybody has their appearances that they have to go to, but an hour before the race, that's time whenever you get your food, you get dressed, you sit on the couch and visualize, whatever you do, right? Mm-hmm. So my weekend has become tremendously different all the way up until that point, and then it's routine. But yeah, certainly just a lot of pageantry. I think someone used that word last year. That's what it is. I mean, you got a bunch of media stuff on Thursday, right? I think that's media day that we go out to Phoenix. I would go out there tomorrow for the Thursday media day. Friday, I think we got maybe like a meeting with NASCAR or something, and then a different practice than what is normally happening, which means that we're probably going to have a team debrief with all of the drivers and crew chiefs to talk about what's going on. Qualifying session Saturday will be pretty normal, except it's only two laps instead of having a practice with it. So I have a bunch of family out there. That'll be a little bit different.
Where do you post them up at?
They're actually going to be staying at the Wigwam. That's where, yeah.
The Wigwam. Is that a teepee?
No.
What is that?
It's a hotel out there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, like at the racetrack, you have a suite. Like,
he's not like Denny. He's not renting some big old mansion, having like 50 dudes in there trying to throw a 4-day bachelor party before he runs.
He just said he's getting get him a teepee.
No,
where do you put him up at the racetrack?
It's like a nice resort, right?
Yeah, so racetrack, they'll be coming out and hanging out outside the motorhome. We haven't really got the plan yet for race, like during the race. We're not going to watch the race at. But
you mentioned on something real quick and you breezed by it, but I want to bring it back. So you mentioned visual at.
Yep.
Visualization. God, why can't I say that word? What do you visualize?
what are you looking at?
When you're sitting there and you're, you know, laid back in the bus, because I do the same, but it's different for you.
Yeah. So pre-race, you're just thinking about your situation, right? If you're, like on the pole. Okay. I qualified on the pole. What am I going to do on the start? Am I going to pick the top? Am I going to pick the bottom? Well, if I pick the top, I got this guy behind me. If I pick the bottom, I got this guy behind me. How am I going to get them attached to me on a mile and a half? Or at Phoenix, it's a little bit that way.
Mm-hmm. Or cover the bottom at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just, and whenever you do that, it never works out that way once they wave the green flag.
Yeah.
But
the enemy has
1,000%.
A vote.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, just trying to focus on doing my job the best that I can and try and be prepared as much as I can be too.
Do you visualize the result?
No, I try not to, you know, every now and then, like, you're like, oh man, what if I win? And
yeah,
I'm sure that this happens to every race car driver. It's like, what if I win, what's my celebration going to be? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Back to basics. It's got to be, how do you execute the start? How do you execute the run? How does the green flag stop happen? How does the next restart? And that's
got to stack the pennies.
You got to stack the
pennies. I don't know if you visualized the after the celebration part, but I have heard after Chili Bowl it was Waffle House. After Truck Championship it was Waffle House.
It was.
We looked and there are two within 20 minutes of the track. Is that where you end up if you are a NASCAR Cup Series champion?
I would imagine so.
Really?
I don't know at what time, but I would imagine we will probably end up there at some point if we win.
Big Waffle House guy.
Covered and smothered.
Yeah.
Chunk, top, hung over.
Woo.
Is that a superstition? Like, are you superstitious at all? Do you have to?
My man's hungry.
Not really. I mean, it's just, honestly, the NASCAR deal, like, I have gone there after dirt track races, but after the clash, Yoshi, which is the car chief on the 19 car, he's like, dude, we're going to Waffle House as soon as we land. And of course, it's a Sunday night race in California.
You have to go if you're dirt racing because it's the only place that's open after you clean a car.
That is true.
Like, you have options after you win the Cup Championship.
Yeah.
But is there better options? I don't know.
Probably not. All-star special? Kidding me? I mean, you'd be the all-star if you won the big trophy.
Yeah.
So when did you do that? With the 19 guys you went after the clash? Was it?
No, I didn't end up
they
going.
They won it this year.
Yeah, they won the clash this year, and they landed it, I'm sure.
Probably like 7 o'clock in the morning.
It was early. Oh. Late or early, however you look at it. And they still all went to Waffle House. I'm like, you know what? That is freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I said, anytime we win this year, we're going to Waffle House. And then Bristol Dirt, that was a late one too because it was a Sunday night race.
And it rained.
Yeah.
So you've done it. You've done Waffle House after every win this year?
After Bristol Dirt and Homestead, yes, we did.
Wow. Mm.
Yep.
Keep it moving.
There's a couple close by. NASCAR fans, we're letting you know now. Can't tell you which one of the two.
You got a 50% shot at meeting our potential champ at a Waffle House if you pick the right one. I could sit here and talk the rest of the day, but I know you got places to be. But before you leave, I have three questions for every guest on the show. This is your first time on Stacking Pennies.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Well, thank you for coming up.
Yeah.
There's only room for somebody that doesn't compete for wins, and that's me. We actually have to have winners on the show occasionally to bump the ratings. Question number one, if you had to pick one type of race car and one racetrack to race at the rest of your life, what do you race?
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
Not Homestead.
No,
still hates that place.
It's not going to be Homestead, which I love Homestead.
You said you hated it after you won.
It's the pastel waltz.
It's been bad to me.
It's the pastel waltz.
But I do really like that track. But anyway, I would say I would love the opportunity to run, like, I don't know, maybe a 2000s cup car or maybe in the 90s, something like that. Like one that you're actually on a bias ply tire. I think they were back then, right?
Early 94.
Yeah. Like, and I know this is a little bit later, but like just seeing the Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon at Atlanta, where they're just literally drifting a
Atlanta
cup
black
car.
Marks.
Yes, on a mile and a half. I think that was maybe in like 2010, 2011. I don't know. But those style cars at Atlanta, that would be really cool. You know, just anywhere where you're, I love high speed. So intermediates are awesome. I love high horsepower. And I love sliding around. So that
was that era.
That Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon video will always be burned in my head of watching them drift at a mile and a half.
You're not getting off that easy. You got to pick one track, though.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go Atlanta.
Old Atlanta.
Old Atlanta was my P1 favorite.
Yeah.
And actually, Old Texas was right there.
I agree with that. Texas was freaking awesome.
So, yeah, between Old Texas or Old Atlanta.
And then, like, late 2000s cup car.
Yeah.
I like that answer. Question number two. What is the most embarrassed you've been at the racetrack?
Ooh, most embarrassed I've been at the racetrack.
Any racetrack ever.
Whenever I was young, I was at a really big micro sprint race. It was in the dash. Thankfully, it wasn't in the feature. But in the dash, I thought the white flag was a checkered flag. And that one was bad.
Mm. Like, and pulled off like Mark Martin?
I didn't pull off, but I slowed down and everyone passed me.
Oh, no.
Yes. So
trophy dash, though. So generally it's eight cars racing for the top eight spots.
Yes, that's right. It was in the dash. It was set in the lineup, so it wasn't the feature.
Yeah.
But that one's burned in my head for sure.
How old were you?
I was 16.
I saw
now,
the
who would be the one?
The Reddick one.
I'm telling you.
He's
like, good job,
I don't
guys.
Even know if I'm looking at the right camera or not.
That's the one to look at right there. Tell it to him.
It happens to every race car driver. It happens to every race car driver.
The best.
That's right.
on that radio communication, Randall Burnett, you can hear like he's like,
go dog.
He's like, guys, so white flag, dog, go. Oh, frick.
Sorry.
That's so tough.
Have you done that before? Please tell me you have.
Well, unfortunately for me, there's about 12 people across the white flag before I get there, so I generally have an idea what's going on. No, but who
You've
would
never
be
done that? It's crazy.
No, who would be the one to choose your ass after that?
At that time, it would have been either my dad or it was either my dad or my mechanic, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 16.
It's only Corey, 16 years old.
Randy LaJoy would have two more years left of Ash June before he let that one go. How old are you now? 30?
32.
Yeah, it'd be about 20 years Ash June.
Oh, dude, I've had it.
Yeah, oh, it would have been bad.
Decades of Ash June, for sure. All right, question number three. That was a good one. Question number three. If you had to, leading up to your second opportunity to chase a Cup Series championship, but if you had to lose every single one of your racing memories up to this point and keep one, what do you keep?
Wow, that's a deep one too.
That's why I think about these questions.
Yeah. So can I give you a couple examples?
Yeah, and then we'll narrow it down to one.
Yeah, so number one is my first Chili Bowl. That one is obviously
– What year was that?
That was 17.
Okay.
Pretty self-explanatory. I grew up in Oklahoma. That was like my race, right?
Yep.
Number two is a little bit more off the wall. My first win in New Zealand.
Okay.
And it was actually
410 sprint car?
It was
or
midget.
Okay.
It was a midget. It was my first race overseas, and it was on what they call Boxing Day, which is December 26th. And the place was packed. It was at Western Springs.
Dude,
and
those places over there are sick.
They are.
All the grass in the infield. There's like pristine beautiful tracks.
Beautiful. And I remember just winning and flying the American flag, and the place was absolutely jam-packed. That one's burned in my head. And then number three was my first World of Outlaw win. That one was at Jacksonville, Illinois, with me and the Fox brothers, Brad and Steve Fox. We showed up with a little 24-foot trailer in one car and won that sucker.
Who'd
that
you beat cool. besides everybody?
Dude, it was a legit top three. I beat Pittman and Schatz.
Oh,
and
wow.
Pittman and Schatz, I think, had combined won like the last however many championships maybe.
Yeah. So you beat the big dogs that night.
That was awesome.
We're looking to beat all the big dogs here Sunday afternoon, buddy.
Got to, man.
From the Stack of Pennies crew, we wish you good luck. Christopher Bell, everybody, going for that 2023 Cup Series championship.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. All right, hope you guys enjoyed that interview with one of the four guys contending for a Cup Series championship this weekend. But also, just like every week, I'm joined by my two friends, Danielle Trotta and championship contending front tire changer Ryan Flores. Let's
championship go. Four dog.
Let's go. Now that Christopher Bell left the studio, we can say I want you to win. But.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I want Christopher Bell's team to do good. I just want to do better.
That's
like,
it.
All four teams in the final round, they're all
dogs.
Like it's weird to say, right? The four teams that are in the final round are all top five teams, but this is gonna sound dumb, but you'll understand it. There's probably 10 top five teams, if that makes sense, right? There's like
not good at math, but
there's probably eight teams that could be in the top five any week that are consistently in the top five. So any one of the teams, the four that are in there, the 20 car obviously won the pit crew challenge this year. The 24 they've just talked about up and down pit road, and the both Hendrick cars have had just every Hendrick car when you look at playoff rankings for this quarter, it's the 400 cars and everybody else. So they have a ton of speed. And you know, we can do just as good a job as anybody. We're right there. So it just depends on who hits it that cycle, and when the most important cycle comes up, who is able to put the pen to paper.
So how much of it this week leading up to it is a little bit of rest, a little bit of like calibration, or is it just like, this is it, boys?
Yeah, I talked to Weaver at the end of the race in Victory Lane, and it's like every week in the playoffs you give a championship effort. Every week, pretty much all year. It gets a little bit lull there at the end of the year. Luckily, I got my appendix out and I got to miss that kind of lull time.
Freshen
this year
up a bit.
I was fresh legs.
That's
for Darlington.
Bro, you're lighter now.
Like 15 pounds lighter.
Yes.
The appendix was really holding me back.
I know.
But
give your kidney next.
Yeah, maybe.
How bad you want?
Hey, look, I got a major organ removed this summer. What the hell did you guys do? That's what I ask everybody in the training room. But
can't say you're not leaving on the field.
But yeah, like you prepare to be a championship team every week. And to think that you're going to do something different this week that you did last week is just, it's not right. You keep preparing to be the best every week, right? I'll prepare for Phoenix the same way that I prepare for Richmond, because you want to give your best product every week. And when you're on a championship team, that's what it is. You're not on a team, like we're not on a team that just circles road courses or circle super speedways or circle short tracks. Like every week we feel like we can go and win. And any week you end up in the position where you have to lay a pit stop down and win. The only thing that I do different this week is like, okay, I know my body. I know what I need to put in it to be. So much of this is mental clarity. You're just high-level problem solving, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to have issues that come up, and you have to be able to solve those issues in hundredths of a second. That's, at the end of the day, that's what tire changing comes down to. Everybody that's at this level can physically do it. Like, everybody's athletic enough. You don't make it to the cup level without being able to physically do it. It's the mental side of it. Okay, and what's my hydration look like? What am I going to be eating? How am I going to be, you know, the most mentally prepared for this? And then for workouts, okay, how I know my body's going to be optimal? How am I not going to be sore? What am I doing, you know, in the training room? So
do you guys go out any earlier than you typically would? What day?
Just go out Saturday. Saturday, 10 o'clock. But anywhere west of Texas, Saturday, 10 o'clock.
Wow. Yeah.
So we'll have a team dinner Saturday night, and you want to leave, I think, and I actually got this from the Gibbs coach when he was our Xfinity coach, Brian Holland. We used to always say, hay's in the barn.
Yeah.
Right? The work's done. The hay's in the barn.
Yeah.
Now let's go enjoy it. And hey, that's where we're at.
Speaking of the barn, I hate you won't be there Saturday night, but you have a cup championship to go win. Corey and I have a special Stacking Pennies episode that we're doing at the barn.
Excellent segue.
At Phoenix, if you guys want to stop by, and we are promised the Xfinity champion and the truck champion. So
Correction,
we're looking forward
we
to
we are trackside next to the barn.
Yeah, we'll be.
There's going to be hay in the barn.
Find the barn full
there's
of hay.
We'll be in the vicinity.
And we're close to it. Yeah.
We'll be there.
Yeah, Rudy's trackside. We're right near the barn. So if you guys are out at Phoenix, come out and see us. It'll be a live show in front of all the fans. We'll have two champs there. It'll be fun.
Obviously, you've spent some time with young Ryan Blaney the last couple of weeks, particularly. He's always popping by the shop, pit practice, checking on the boys, but obviously a big week. But you said it, and I was thinking it earlier when we talked on the phone. I was thinking this. It has been a bit of a coming of age of Ryan Blaney's, like, maturation as a race car driver. I'm fumbling some words today.
Yeah, there's definitely been a different level of maturity to be able to finish him off. And
because he's always had the speed and had a hard time putting the whole package together. He has put the whole package together consistently through this playoff.
Don't think that. Like, he didn't keep the receipts of what happened last year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we put together this well over round of eight last year, and, you know, Ryan put that on his shoulders, right? We've all, as a team, right, we've found ways, and Michael Hicks, when I was talking about the 20 car, said this about the 20 once they got put from the 54. They did the pit crew swap. And it almost seems true for the 12 at times, and it seemed that way. It was like, I said, what's going on? You guys were good on the 54, and now you seem to be struggling on the 20. He goes, man, this thing's cursed. This car's cursed, right? And there's like the 25 for Hendrick. There's been cars mm-hmm. that you say that about, and it almost at times felt like that with the 12. Like, what do we
got? How much of that, if you're on that car and you're telling yourself that it's a curse, you
it's like
manifest that into
prophecy.
I don't. There's people that do, right?
Don't even the put only that. Thing, let's not
no,
put that
I'm not putting that.
There.
I tell you, yeah. We ain't putting it out there. I've lived it. I've lived through it. The 20 car guys have lived through it. If you've been on one of these cars, you lived through it. And it comes down to what Blaney said this week when he was asked the question and he got a little spicy in the media, whatever that is.
About luck?
Media center.
Someone boy said he had the Jimmy Johnson horseshoe up.
He did not like that.
No, well.
Rightfully so.
That's the problem. That's the way you get through it, right?
Right.
The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and you work through it and you figure out, okay, you don't get emotional about it, right? I think things are trumped up to being superstitious or, you know, luck when you're not prepared for it, right? There's stuff that's going to happen, right? If something weird happens, then it happens. But you're prepared for every situation. And as a 12 group, we found ways that are out of our control and in our control to lose races for all the time that we've been on the 12. But putting the pen to paper and finishing off and going, okay, why did we lose that? Even Ryan looking at himself. And it was, you know, I would say it was a hard pill to swallow last year to go to Phoenix and watch Joey win the championship. He had to feel a little bit like, man, that was my shot. And I think that's, you know, there's been a huge, like you said, maturation. He's been, you know, showing a ton of maturity and closing the races off. And he's always had the speed. Blaney's got Kyle Larson speed. You know, it's just finishing it off, you know, bookending it. And he's doing that now, which is really dangerous.
Really dangerous.
I don't know if there's, like, more Blaney fans that are outspoken now or.
Oh, I'll let you know. They speak a lot because I've gotten mowed over.
Moses, people are coming out of the woodwork like crazy on SiriusXM. Like, Corey asks me every week, what's everyone talking about? They're talking about you. They're talking about the 12. Like,
he's a hard guy not to
like. People are freaking happy for this kid.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good for the sport.
And where the hell did it come from? It seemed so improbable. And then when Joey gets bounced in the round of 16, you're like, Blaney's next. I mean, no disrespect, but people just thought, you guys have busted every bracket out there. There can't be a bracket that had, I mean, it's Larson and the Killer Bees, right? Like, you could argue Byron, but Bell and Blaney, I'm not sure a ton of people necessarily saw it coming. So kudos to you guys. You have worked your freaking ass off to get there.
Yeah, I think that we've thought, like, we're not surprised, right? Like, our goal's been the same, and it, you know, it's just been being able to execute better. Dale Jr. believed in us.
That's all it takes.
Dale Jr.
Pretty
outspoken.
He says is gospel, man.
Hey, man, that's all I need. Dale Jr.'s got my back. Who could be against you?
I mean,
Blaney's his boy.
If I'm on TV and Dale Jr. says something positive about me, my phone blows up.
Really?
Yeah. If I run 12th and Dale Jr. says nothing about me, no text. It's like I didn't even race that day.
Yeah.
If Dale Jr. says, man, Corey's out there just taking Spire from a starting park team to a lap-leading organization, you'd think I hit the lottery.
He loves seeing you inside the top 10.
Like, I love seeing it, too.
He gives you love every time you crack it.
What was he saying this week when he was running second?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was like, shout out to Corey LaJoy.
Yeah, we
stacking pennies.
We were stacking pennies. Led a couple laps, too. Wanted to give old Clyde a little nudge.
Did you drive up there and pass? I didn't get to see.
No, started next one, restart.
Oh,
got
that.
A freaking John Force launch.
Let's
off.
Go.
I timed it perfect, grabbed third and fourth, chasing 901, about missed it. Got a big old diamond, drove it off, led two laps. I was like, yep. And then he was a little bit better than I was. But we were able to maintain that track position. Unfortunately, we did not plan on the last 160 laps of Martinsville going green. So we had a pit with about 15 laps left of fuel or laps in the race. We ran out of gas, so that was unfortunate because I felt like we had, when we got some track position, we were top five or six car. But it's nice to see a little bit of positive improvement. We just have to execute a little bit better. We got a bad draw for qualifying, qualified bad, and then it was just an uphill battle in the race. But we are getting incrementally better as a team, so that was our best short track race ever. So
good to see you up front, buddy.
It was nice. I think we're going to see that more often next year, which I'm excited about. But I'm excited for multiple reasons this weekend. One, because it's the last race of the year, and I'm excited about that. Two, we have the opportunity to be, I believe, one of the 32 people, 33 people. I'm going to knock on some wood to go the entire season without DNF.
Yes.
Really take a lot of pride in that stat. Hopefully we can execute that and bring that home this weekend, because that was our number one goal this year, is to just finish as many laps as possible. And also that would be a big thing for me in just shedding the crashing
It's a long way from the Corey Caution Twitter.
Hell yeah. Twitter, my rookie year, somebody made a Twitter page that says, did Corey crash every week? It was yes or no. And there was like yes for like 8 weeks in a row.
Hey, whoever made that Twitter?
F*** you.
Yep. What he
said. That's what I got to say about that. F*** you. So that's number two. Number three, as a fan of the sport, it's going to be a hell of a weekend. Four guys duking it out for the Cup Series championship. It's always an exciting spot. I don't hate Phoenix as a finale race. I love the market. The racetrack, meh. There's about, 10 better than that. But this is what we got. And as we all know, it's going to be the four best cars gravitating to the front, duking it out. It's going to come down to a pit stop, and it's going to come down to a late race restart to who can get the job done.
Hey, you think
so, Danielle?
Not like last year.
What?
Not like last year.
What was last year?
It was a little bit of a longer run.
I don't remember.
Okay.
A lot of long green flag runs in that race.
We're going to see that again probably. Or who knows?
Youngest champ forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Average age is 28.
Dang.
Does Harvick win?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. Harvick, Denny, Truex, and Kyle Busch are not in it.
Yeah.
That'll
dinosaurs, bro. What are they, 33, 35?
It would have raised the group average for sure, but a lot of young bucks.
Danielle.
Three potential first-time champions, and I know what you're thinking. You're going to ask me who to pick.
Yeah, you're going to. Yeah, so you've been talking about it all week. That's what everybody wants to know. Who's your pick?
My mind.
Who is it?
Larson.
Why you think that?
I felt that way in August. Haven't wavered. You guys know your boy, Cliff. What do you think Cliff's saying to Kyle this week?
I don't know. Who knows?
I just like when you do a Cliff Daniels impersonation.
Kyle, we have got to go there and execute. Kyle. Kyle, you cannot hit the Sambrows, Kyle. Something like that. I saw Kyle in Taco Bell. He's like, dude, Kyle Larson's. He was in Taco Bell with his family when we were driving home.
On the way back?
He's just cool as hell.
He is.
He's like one of the, like, truly and honestly, he's just one of the better people.
Yeah.
You know, as being like, you wouldn't realize when you talk to him that he's like,
the best
most talented race car driver maybe that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Right? And he's just like mellow. Three kids eating Taco Bell.
Yeah. Eating Crunchwrap Supreme, chilling. Yep. Love that.
Worries me a little bit. I mean, Hendrick was kind of out to lunch this week. I didn't expect Byron and Larson to struggle as much as they did, and it's a little concerning.
It's
going to
be hard. Them boys are going to be in contention. 24 car won the spring race. I believe the five was runner-up there.
Different tire. What do you feel about that?
I like the tire. Chris Bell and I were talking about it before the show. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole because that's another conversation.
Just give me a cliff
note. Day.
Is it going to be?
It laid down a lot of rubber. It is going to make the groove wide at Martinsville. It got back to the old school laying half inch of rubber about 6 inches off the curb. So you had to be precise on where you hit your marks. I think that Goodyear can make another step in terms of softening the tread softness up. But I thought the tire was good. I think this old school, it's what it is, this old school mentality of thinking that somebody can speed on pit road with the best car and going to be able to drive back to the front is done.
Yeah, because we saw it with the 19 this weekend. And if he would have listened to Boats and Woes last week, he would have known.
So it's his own fault.
He didn't listen to Boats and Woes, and he sped on pit stall one. Second time
in a row
in as many races this year that the guy leading the race in pit stall one sped and ruined his day.
Can't do that.
Ryan Preece said it earlier this season.
Can't do that.
Do you attribute the tire to the fact that you could pass on the outside as much as guys were doing like plenty?
Because it lays so much rubber on the bottom, then you can run up there.
You have to run. I mean, if you miss the curb by 5 inches, your right sides were up into where the rubber buildup was. But if you had discipline and you wrapped the curb, you were decent. But if somebody missed it and you can roll to the right recorder, you had them.
I'm trying to keep this episode concise because it's Halloween.
We got
to go trick-or-treating. But I went Thursday for the modified race. Got to interview kind of your pseudo-cousin Ronnie Silk after winning the championship. And I have never been really to another race there without having a favorite that I was pulling for, whether I'm pitting for you or Jimmy Blewett or went there with Brandon McReynolds with the late model. So I always kind of just watched one car. Well, I just watched it broadly, watched the whole race. And the guys that race modifieds are really good. We were in turn three, pit stall 40, and it was great view of the corner. The cup guys don't put a wheel wrong all race.
No.
Right? You don't see anybody bouncing off the curb.
Right.
Like, Blaney locked his left front up and got in the 45, but like, That is the modified race, guys bouncing off the curb, missing it, sideways.
Xfinity race.
Like, the Xfinity race was a complete show. The level of cup racing, like, I can't stress this enough to the guys that are racing weekly at short tracks that think they can just get in a cup car and run. It is high-level stuff, and there's a reason that Ryan Preece went there and just made everybody, you know, not look bad, but just went there and smoked everybody. Yeah, kudos to the 51 dogs. He had the 41 pit crew, or he had a couple of Stuart Haas Cup guys, and they beat him off pit road, and they were all stoked, so that was cool for them. But that I couldn't help but think about that. Like, damn, these guys are good. Like,
perfect.
Really good.
For 1,000 corners.
Corners.
You're talking not like feet. You're talking, if you missed the curb by 6 inches, your right side tires were in that buildup rubber, and you were dog.
Yep.
There was a difference of a 3/10 a lap time of putting your left side tires within a four inch window.
Yeah. By the way, I feel really bad talking about the 5 in front of Flores. And
why?
I don't. Why? I just didn't expect y'all to be there. And I filled out my bracket so many months ago, so I want to stick with the guy I originally penciled in. But I'm telling you, everyone is talking about y'all this week.
Hey,
there's so much
feelings.
Buzz around.
You hurt my feelings.
So,
but I got, but
I'm going to make a pick.
I'm going to be looking out for
it's
you.
It's okay.
You're my teammate.
I want
y'all to win, too.
I keep the receipts.
I want to be able to say I'm sitting next to a champion every week on the podcast.
Me too.
He's going to wear his championship ring every show.
I'll never take it off.
Good,
well,
honey.
I'll give you a pick. You're going with the 5. I really don't – I'm not overly convicted about anybody. But
they're
it is hard
so
to deny the speed of the 12 car lately. Obviously, the 5s had a couple weeks on their stuff. They were – you have to go off previous races. You have to go off – Loudon, you have to kind of go off of Gateway, but you obviously go off the spring race at Phoenix, to which a Hendrick car won, but different tire. I believe it was the same downforce package. But even that, the evolution with the practice, with the opportunity for teammates to work on other setups and then hone into one, it is really and truly going to be a team championship, from driver execution and qualifying to pit road execution on pit road to your overall teammates finding out what the best setup is for the car or cars in Hendrick's case going for a championship. It's just going to be super fascinating as a fan to watch, and I'm excited for all the fans to be able to see another great championship battle go down to the wire.
Are you going to get out of their way like more so than you would any other week?
I'm not going to be going a lap down, so I'm not.
Hey, he's got something to race for this week.
I didn't say going a lap down. I'm just saying when you see one of those four, you're like, oh.
I mean, if I'm running 12th and somebody has a bad stop, right, I'm not going to hold up. No matter if it's an 08, it's probably not the correct answer to say, but, like, I'm not going to hold up any of the four, regardless of what OEM it is. You know, somebody gets behind after a bad pit stop or something, bad restart, I'm not going to be aero blocking somebody racing for something much bigger than 24th in points.
Yeah.
Even though going for 24th, 25th in points is a big, big financial
big.
Deal for our team. That's what we're going for. We're within three points of that with the 31. That's my race. And also, like we talked about with Chris Buescher racing at Vegas for 20th, I'm going for that bonus. Got to finish 22nd or better to get my fellas a little bit of cheddar.
Come on.
Let's go. That's good.
We got any pit road boats and woes? We kind of covered it already.
Oh, no, we got a ton. Let's go.
Oh, we got a bunch of woes right after this.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Time for some pit road boats and woes championship edition. Who are them championship dogs?
For the second week in a row, they're coming out of the Mooresville base location of Penske Racing.
Hey.
Team Penske. But not the 2 and not the winners, not the 12, but the 22.
Oh.
The only team all weekend, they did all 9s. They were the only ones to not have a stop out of the 9s. And they were P1 on average. So big shout out to the former champions.
Finish.
Yep, P5 finish. So.
Dogs.
Let's start with the most important position first, front tire changer. Young guy,
sure.
my protege, he's filling in
yeah.
for the championship front tire changer last year, Tanner Andrews. He had to get some maintenance work done. It's like football, right? When you get knocked out of the playoffs, guys that have injuries or need to fix something, they will kind of go get that fixed right when they get knocked out.
That makes
sense. So they put in my little protege, Joe Dilley, 21 years old.
Not Joe Diffie.
No, Joe Diffie. Joe Dilley. They call
Dog.
Him. Sometimes they call him Skip Dilley.
Why?
Because
that's what you are.
They say he's like
your name? Skip Junior.
Skip Junior, dog.
He's really good at changing tires. Really bad at fantasy football. Joe Dilley
can't be good at everything.
Nope. Tire carrier, straight out of Alabama. Jeremy Ogles.
Dog.
Absolute dog and a stud.
Yep, a studly dog, if you will.
Starting at Jackman, a linebacker from Nebraska, Graham Stoddard.
Hey, dog.
Rear tire changer. Maybe, I don't know the stats on this, and I don't know if anybody has it, but maybe the winningest tire changer in NASCAR history. I don't know. He could be. Jake Seminara.
Is he?
He was on Biffle's car, then he was on the 18 for a long time, and then he's been with Joe. He's won a couple championships. He's won a metric ton of races.
Old dog.
He, you know, and he needs to be winning right now because
obviously
he's a Steelers
learned some
fan.
New tricks.
He's a Steelers fan, and they ain't winning. So.
They ain't winning. But he's winning dogs of the week.
Yep, and he's been winning for a long time. He's one of those guys that's just always been – he's always on it. He's like – there's certain guys that are always on teams, and the teams are always good, and he's one of those guys. And Nick Hensley, a longtime gas man at Penske. Fuel dog, Asheville's finest. So those guys, like I said, I love seeing my teammates succeed. I grind it out. We practice with them every day. Every day that we're in practice, they're there with us. So excited to see them, even with a second string guy changing front tires. It just shows the depth. And Joe Dilley is our first guy that's never changed 5 lug nuts. He never even touched a 5 lug nut gun. He was
new
in high school when we were changing 5 lug nuts. So he's kind of the first changer that Penske's developed that's only been 1 lug nut, left-handed. Like he's
like the Jackson Storm.
Southpaw dog.
Jackson Storm.
Like the Jackson Storm of the Cup Series.
And I'm like lightning trying to keep up.
I love
it. And I'm
rusty.
Like Tomater. Look at my crops.
You had this one. Their little video yesterday on social media went viral. People loved it.
You like my Mater ones?
Love it.
Dude, they're so
ones,
cool.
Mater ones.
not a huge croc guy.
If you ain't crocking,
hey, man,
you ain't rocking, bro.
I'm not crocking.
Look at these, dude.
I've never
they got a toe
a
hitch on them in case you find yourself in some trouble. You went your way out.
Yeah.
You
got to be
dad.
Prepared.
Looks like your dad's
you don't
golf
get on,
cart.
You don't get that on a pair of Jordans.
No, you can't get that.
No.
No.
No toe hook on a jet.
So we already
what about
covered,
the woes of the week?
Yeah,
we've been talking about Truex. We warned them.
I tried to tell them.
Don't do it.
You don't want to listen.
You're going to throw it away.
I don't want to listen.
That championship. Ooh.
Yeah, that was
all you do is listen.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And then they had a stop. It's written down here, lap 265. The jack kind of got spit out. Something I've seen with their jack a couple times. It happened to Darrell. It happened kind of that Gibbs jack. And I feel like they've developed a new jack is what I've heard. And I don't know why, but it seems to be up and it still spits it out. But, yeah, that's tough. They were already kind of out of the race at that point. But if it's ever going to spit the jack out, it's worst case scenario that it spits it out when the wheels come off it.
Yeah.
Right, a lot of times you'll doink off the peg and have to reset it, but yeah, that was tough for them. And they made some changes on that car this week, and they've got really good guys over there. You know, it's just getting them all in the right places. And the 20 car has been the best team almost all year. Them and the Hendrick cars and us, and I'm excited to get there and get after it.
All right, so there's one spot, pit box number one, is obviously the best spot on pit road. But
where?
At Phoenix.
Phoenix.
We are moving on to the championship race. The four championship cars get the first four pit box selections in order of your qualifying. So everybody will get an opening. Do you prefer opening ins?
I think everybody prefers an opening out.
At opening out.
Yep.
Okay.
But, like, don't think that everybody's going to have their own form of data that tells them what the best rolling time is, what the best stalls for rolling time are. So if it's – the pit boxes are 41 feet long. They're very long. So it's not a place to where, like, someone's ever going to block you in.
Yeah.
Right? So say that an opening in has better rolling time consistently than an opening out, you would think about picking that box.
Yeah. So if the boxes are that big, would you ever go 1, 2, 3, 4 in stalls, or it would never
– You never do that.
You would never do that.
Nah, you don't want to do that. That because
– It's too close.
Yeah, well, you just don't have a straight shot into your pit box. Right? Like, even though you probably won't impede each other's pit stops, you would still have to turn around them. And
yeah.
It's just you're allowed – you know, 3 stalls to drive through and the drivers can get straight and come in. So this weekend was super tough in Ford down there, you know, at that last pit stall. But we were in the last pit stall last time we were in Phoenix. Pit road is so long at Phoenix. It is like, I think there's like the length of half of Martinsville pit road before you even get the pit boxes. It's like almost the whole track.
Yeah.
And it's got a curve. So there'll be
a lot of speed.
Is that a lot of timing lines that you have to worry about?
Well, the timing lines are like pizza shaped, right?
Which is what got Martin this weekend.
Because he drove straight out of his box where
Time over distance.
Time over distance. It's not like a clock mile per hour, right? It's time in that segment. So a lot of time is spent on the engineers of what lane you need to position your car to roll your lights to run as close to that maximum pit road speed as possible and not go over. Because if you go over, your championship's over. You cannot make a mistake.
Yeah, with the new tire, generally this race is like a 6-pit stop race. What we saw in the fall here was a 2-tire at the end won it. The 4-car was dominating the race. They took 4, and I think they came out like 9th.
Yeah,
so there were 8 or 9 cars in front of them that took 2. What do you see this new tire being like this weekend?
Less than 15 laps ago, caution comes out, you're putting rights on it.
Putting rights, yeah. Do you think it's about a 6-6?
No
stop
idea.
Race?
I don't know. I don't know. Depends on where caution. If it goes a lot of green,
generally depending on fuel mileage, you'll split whether you'll split the stages.
Yep.
Right. So one in the middle of stage one, one at the end of stage one,
three,
one in the
four.
Middle. That's 4. And then one or
5.
2 at the end.
Yeah, I can see 5.
Short race. 300 something like
action packed.
Or something miles, I mean.
Can't wait. Oh, it comes down to
this. It's going
to
be.
And it's so hard to handicap. We say this every year, but then, like, it's so hard to handicap. And then we get to Phoenix last year, and Joey was just in his own freaking zip code. And we were like,
yeah.
The only person that could beat Joey today is Joey. And maybe Blaney, but I thought he was a good teammate and settled for P2 down the stretch. But
which had him fired up for this
year. Penske had him covered last year.
It won't be the case like that, I don't believe. I think it's going to be tight.
You think it's going to be tight?
Yeah, I think with a lot of notes on this car, it was a new downforce package when we went there last year.
Yeah.
It's the field is continue like the leader isn't going to get much more out in front. The 20th on back is going to continue to close the gap.
I hope it's the most boring race you ever watched in my life.
And y'all lead every single lap.
Flags. It's not going to be.
Let's talk about the biggest woe of the week.
What's the woe?
RCR Xfinity. What's your take there? I feel like you were like. You bred Austin Hill. You fed him out of your hand like a puppy.
Like a little bird.
Like a little puppy until they became a dog. He took over. So Austin Hill
took over all of our K&N stuff.
I didn't know that was your boy.
You crew chiefed it.
I wouldn't say they were boys. Like,
oh, you don't like Austin Hill now.
I like Austin Hill.
Did Sheldon
brake check in turn 4? Did he just
I don't know what the hell he was
hey,
doing.
Hey, look, am I the only person that saw Austin Hill hook a left early getting into 4? Because he hooked the left into his door, and that got him out of shape. Now, I think he outbraked him, and
he
brake checked it coming to the checkered.
Who?
Sheldon Creed at the half mark of the corner.
Yeah, but
he slides up. Okay.
He missed it. He missed the corner. He slid up. I guarantee you if you look at SMT, the 21 throttled up.
Nope.
Okay, pull it up.
Pull the tape. The 21 and the 7 both accelerated the same pace. The 2 was parked in the second groove. There's no way.
On purpose?
I think he didn't expect the 7 to fill it. I'll put this out there. I don't think what Sheldon Creed did was dirty. I think that he was doing what he had to do for Sheldon Creed and the 2 team to race for a championship. The outcome was very bad optics. You go from what could have been potentially 2 RCR cars in, 50% of them in the championship 4 would be RCR, to 0. And then when you have RC in the media saying that he's had some dumb drivers and Sheldon Creed might be the dumbest. Obviously, that's not a good look either. But you had an interesting take, which I agree with. So roll it out.
Oh, about teammates?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no teammates in the Xfinity Series.
Why is that?
Because, like, in the Cup Series, you're getting paid to drive for a team. In the Xfinity Series, you're paying to drive the car.
Right.
So you're just out for yourself. Everybody has a common goal of making it to the Cup Series. And when you go to drive an Xfinity team, nobody's hiring these guys to drive
an
Xfinity car.
$3
you're bringing
million.
Your funding, right? Yep. Whether you have funding or you have sponsors, like, nobody's actively, like, going and recruiting. They're not. It's all funded drivers that are paying for their rides for common goals. And the common goal is to win the championship, to excel yourself, to get to the Cup Series. So Sheldon Creed is worried about Sheldon Creed,
yes.
Right? And we've seen that with a lot of teammates. We saw it with Ty last year there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's – and Sheldon even said that. He said, if I wanted to wreck him, I'd have just done what Ty did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, dude – if there's anybody, and I don't mean this derogatory or anything, and you're going to know this when I say it, if there's a perfect mold for a driver for RCR, it's Austin Hill. Just like kind of like an angry redneck, right? Like I don't mean to be mean about it, but he's just like an RC. He's like a short track guy with a short temper that like, you ain't going to wrong me.
I'll punch you in the face.
Like, hold my watch.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing.
I'm surprised it didn't get physical. That's the only thing that didn't happen after that race for that organization.
Yeah, there were some people with smoke rolling out of their ears.
Yeah, nobody wants to punch Sheldon. Sheldon doesn't have a punchable face.
No, I'd feel
bad. I like Sheldon.
Was I the only one that felt bad for him?
For Sheldon?
Yeah. After the race?
I thought that his post-race interview was...
He didn't have a friend in the world.
I don't know. I think more people stuck up for him than didn't.
On social media, he had a million friends. Everyone sided with Sheldon.
I didn't like Austin Hill walking past the pit box and doing the little clap
look.
Thing. Like, they ain't driving the damn thing. And also, like...
That's why he's, like, the perfect RCR guy, right? Like, RCR is... Like, Richard was born and raised at Bowman Gray. Right, and he's still got that ingrained in his DNA. Like, he's got a little Bowman Gray in him.
If he just parked it and tried to knock the radiator out and ruin Austin's day on purpose, I shouldn't feel bad for him, I guess. But I just didn't see it that way, maybe in the moment. And then after, I felt like everyone from RCR was just like,
yeah,
left him there to bleed out or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, did you see what he said back to Angie?
No.
He said, if he'd have run into me, you wouldn't have said shit. That's what he said to Petrie.
Who said that?
That's what Sheldon said. Like, I stopped it and watched it. And he's like, Sheldon kind of stood there like, okay, I'm getting yelled at. And then he was like, hey, man, if he'd have run into me, you wouldn't have said
yeah.
That's what he said back to him.
Wow.
But that's true, right? And
he definitely
and
felt like
at
Austin's
the end of the day,
golden
child Sheldon over. Creed is paying them to drive the race car, right? So.
And already knows
so he
where
owes
he's
them,
going
so
next
truly
year.
And honestly, he. Figuratively and literally, he owes them nothing because he's paid to drive their race car. It's not like he's hired there. If he was hired to drive for them and he did that, he would be fired.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Most likely, if they were that convicted about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be like clickbait or controversial. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Like, and we can dance around it and act like these guys are teammates and they're one goal. That's not how it is.
No.
Right. And that's why all these kids go from Gibbs to Junior Motorsports,
back to Gibbs,
to RCR, to Jordan Anderson. It's just where they can get the best deal in race, right? Like, let's call it what it is, and that's fine, right? And we're going to see, John Hunter Nemechek is going to get a ride because, and rightfully so, because he's excelled in that.
Yeah, but I still think if you were racing for me and it was my team, I would still expect, whether there was buy-in and there was love between you guys and you really truly feel like your teammates or not, you're still both running for my team, my organization. You're going to conduct yourself and represent my company a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they've just treated each other this year, like, I go back to Bristol.
It's been both ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying it's a bad look across the board.
Well,
like,
that's
y'all need to just keep it private. I don't care if you hate each other.
That's where it's tough, like, when the competition.
God, they just out each other. I'm glad it's almost over because it's just gotten uncomfortable and kind
but,
of ugly.
But, like, and I'm not trying to hammer these guys, but, like, man, it seems like everybody that leaves Richard Childress, they all have beef. Kevin Harvick, they were fighting at Martinsville during the truck race. It was, you know, it seemed kind of civil with Tyler, but not really the way that all went down. And
that's a fair point.
It seems like there's a lot of, there seems like there's not much love lost when people exit over there.
Yeah.
No sense of really diving into assuming what that might be, but who knows, because it was a bit of a shit show in the RCR camp this week.
Yeah.
Race for a championship. Now, neither one of them have a shot for the championship for Phoenix.
Yeah,
who we got on the Xfinity side?
Allgaier.
So
Allgaier.
We have two Chevrolets.
Colonel Custer.
Sam Mayer and Justin Mayer. Allgaier.
And
John
Cole
Hunter.
Custer and John Hunter.
I want to see John Hunter win. I like John Hunter. They've been great all year.
I have a soft spot for Allgaier. He's kind of like Denny Hamlin
Allgaier
of the Xfinity Series. Like, will he ever win one?
Let's not draw that comparison.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
two guys that have been around forever in their respective series and have never won a title.
Yeah.
Come close so many times.
Yeah, I'd love to see Allgaier
like
win.
Yeah, I like Allgaier, too. Who's the truck for?
Corey Heim, Grant Enfinger, Ben Rhodes.
Say less. Corey Heim, Scotty Zip.
That's what everyone's saying. They're like,
Scotty
Zip's
a dog, dude.
They're saying Heim's got it locked up.
I mean, I hope he does.
He's got the right name. You know, he's just a lock. No, just Corey.
Oh, Corey.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great name.
And Carson Hocevar, that's the fourth.
Oh, yeah, that's your teammate.
Yeah.
You have to pull for him.
Don't count out. I know people love Corey Heim.
Best of luck.
I'm not counting out Carson Hocevar.
Look, I don't even know Corey Heim. I've never met him.
Yeah, I
wouldn't even be able to pick him out of the crowd.
I haven't either.
Scotty Zip. Dog.
Yeah. Definitely a dog. There's going to be I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be three epic championship races this
Love
weekend.
It.
And you better tune in because you're not going to want to miss.
Four. There's an ARCA race, too. Action.
And there's a hot damn. There's even an appetizer.
And our buddy Mamba's going to be in it in a Sunoco car. Go Mamba.
Is he?
Yeah.
Go Mamba. Let's go. There is an action-packed weekend. ARCA West Series Championship. Truck Series Championship, Xfinity Series Championship, stacking pennies from the barn. Are you kidding
Come
me?
On.
And then Sunday.
And I don't know if I said that Saturday night. Flores can't be with us because he's a championship four dog. So he's going to be busy. And we're going to miss you, Ryan.
He'll be
you
in them,
but you're
in
thinking
sheets,
big picture.
In the doghouse.
Be in a free dinner.
But if you're around Saturday night, come hang out with us.
If you guys are around Sunday night,
come on out. Check it out. We also, just like every week, have some hashtag penny for your thoughts. Questions.
Is it awkward seeing each other on pit road after the race?
Because
I saw you on pit road after the race, and we won.
No, I gave you a thumbs up.
And you were thumbs up, but you were dejected. And it's kind of weird to be. It's kind of weird to be working on opposite teams as much as we've gone racing together.
I don't think
so. It's not weird for me.
It's not weird for me either.
You just were so dejected at the end of the race.
Well, one.
Why were you sad, Corey?
Well, I was tired.
Why was everybody falling out of the seat? Why was it
a
so
long green run at Martinsville? You get no breaks. Yeah. I mean, my heart rate was 178 to 180 for
And you're shifting.
And
now.
You're shifting.
Byron thought he was going to pass out. Newman needed medical attention. I was like, oh,
Newman's
my
old.
God.
No, Newman. Oh, and damn, Chris. Did Chris Bell spin Newman out? We should ask him about that.
Yes, he
that,
did.
Hey, dude, yeah. Newman would
he
be
did.
The guy to be like,
yeah, just,
oh, you spun me out last week? You did championship four?
Because Jeff Burton was on NBC, and Jeff raced with Ryan. He's like, C-Bell obviously didn't come up in an era with that dude because he will get you back. I'm like, I hope it's not next week because Bell's fighting for a championship.
So it was hot. Cars were hot. Martinsville, you don't get a lot of air movement because the airspeed through the car and around the car is only 100, right? So interior cockpit temperature gets hot. And when it's a long green run like that, what, it would go 160 laps straight, your heart rate stays 170 for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So do a 45-minute workout in zone four.
Yeah.
And let me know if you're tired or not. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's what it is.
At 110 degrees inside the car or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, So I'm sitting on the wall after a race, and your heart is just going, getting an adrenaline dump. He gets watered. Splash all over him from the two crew.
He gives me a thumbs up.
And then they give you fat lip.
I have a fat lip, yeah.
So I gave him a thumbs up. Good job. Give him thumbs up back. And then I continued to try to collect my thoughts. And the day didn't finish like I'd hoped, right? We had a good car. If we'd had a break with a yellow, I think we could have ran in the top five. So I was a little bit pissed off about that.
Hey, guess what?
What?
There's a reason we don't have any penny for your thoughts questions. It's blank on the rundown because we wanted this to be a special surprise. Weeks ago, we put online you could pay to be here in person with us for a Stacking Pennies episode.
For
and
the kickball.
All the money went to your kickball classic.
Yeah.
Robert spent a lot of pennies
to
be here in person. Robert from New Smyrna. He's our special guest. Do you have a Stacking Penny question, Robert?
No, ma'am, he says. Give us something. Give us something.
Can I have my money back? I thought it was going to be way cooler.
Yeah, that was going to be way better.
Here's what we could do. Throw out your championship Sunday prediction.
Yep.
Let's go.
There he is.
We'd like to see Blaney win. That's what Robert from New Smyrna said.
The backstage pass winner, Robert, is going with the 12.
Thank you for being here, Robert. We appreciate it so much.
Appreciate your support of the YMCA Samaritan's Feet and the Kickball Classic. Obviously, we want to thank you guys, too, for your continued support this year. I just can't say enough about every – I'm sure you're starting to hear it, too. I'm sure, Danielle, you're starting to hear it. But when people see me at the racetrack, it is staggering the amount of people that are yelling, stacking pennies, love the podcast. So there are certainly weeks throughout the year that I don't feel like this show is worth doing. I'll be honest with you. But your guys' support, whether it's on social media or in person at the racetrack, saying you listen to the show, you like the show, continues to pep me up to come in here on Tuesday and give you guys good stuff.
It's not because you don't care about it or you don't – it's just – it's the end of a long year.
Yep.
You're beat down.
Yep.
You're over it.
Yep.
And there's a huge tax on your time.
Yep.
And this is a long day, so.
It is a long day, but it is worth it. And you guys saying that you like the show and we continue to try to develop this thing and get it better. And this is the end of season numero 3. And we're coming back. We're coming back because you guys continue to love it. So to prove that, all you have to do is this. Like, download, share, rate, review it, do all the things. Or just yell at me when you're on pit road. Or yell at Flores when you're on pit road. Don't matter. Just show your support because we appreciate you guys. And then we have one last spare change for you. Breaking down after P&Q again for the championship 4 on who we think is looking strong. Obviously, again, we talk to you guys Saturday night in person. Come check us out. We'll be interviewing the Truck Series champ and the Xfinity champ yet to be. That's it. That's all I got. Hope you guys enjoyed the show.
Hey, thanks.
Go get
good
him.
Luck, Ryan Flores, front tire changer, Ryan Blaney. Go get him. Go get him, champ. That's it. We're stacking pennies. Presented by Mobile One. Goodbye.